Chapter 11. The sun was a memory, ennobling temple walls, illuminating banners, but long estranged from the sky. Pilgrims did not seek holy terror for natural illumination. Of course, they sought an illumination of the soul. Did they ever find it? Wondered Drake, as they breathed their last, crushed beneath oblivious multitudes, reaching for gates that never opened and clouds that never broke. He looked at them, crawling through the muck, watching them through a spear-tipped window so tall he could not see the apex. The glass was leaded and stained, ablaze with saints and scholars, and framed by a casement wrought in the shape of a vast double-headed eagle. Drake's father was a few feet away, finalising the commission that would take Drake to the far side of the galaxy. He had already explained that this was not a punishment, but an honour, crushing Drake's soul with every lie. "A captain," he said. "Can you hear me?" Drake frowned. His father never addressed him as captain. There had been a galaxy between them by the time Drake had assumed that title. And the voice was not his father's age-ravaged croak, but a metallic, inhuman burr. As Drake tried to place the voice, a dark tide poured into the streets below, washing over the statuary and engulfing the pilgrims, boiling and rolling, turning the horizon black. "Captain Drake," said the voice again, as darkness enveloped him. An icy chill radiated through Drake's coat, throbbing in his bones and reminding him of where he really was.
The Black Stone.
His speech was clumsy, as though he had just awoken. He opened his eyes, but saw only darkness. "Yes, the Black Stone," said the voice, sounding pleased. "Hang on to that thought. The fortress is beguiling you, sending you back into your past. I am Emissary Korval. We have come to the Blackstone seeking its innermost chamber. Do you remember?" For a moment, the darkness lifted, and Drake glimpsed the three lenses of Korval's helmet. Light flashed in the glass, reminding him of candlelight in window panes and pushing him back into the past. "Sound the trumpets," said his sister as she walked towards him, trailing velvet, ermine, and vitriol. "Bang the drum!" A sea of powdered wigs and coronets parted to let her join him at the window. "Behold, as Terra's most noble son prepares to sally forth." She laughed, leaning close, whispering in his ear. "I won't tell them the truth if you don't." He kept his gaze fixed on the crowds beneath the window. If he saw the victorious look in her eye, there would be violence, and there had been enough of that. She sipped her wine and looked at the crowds below, pitiful and bleeding, no idea of the high-born eyes looking down at them. "Even those filthy wretches will enjoy the privilege you have been denied, brother. While you breathe your last in some dreadful backwater, they will be here, talking their drivel in the blessed streets of Holy Terror." She laughed again, looking back into the room at the distant figure of their father. "And the irony is that it's breaking his heart. It's killing him to send you away." Her tone soured. "Thanks to your stupidity, he will have to make do with me, a mere daughter. All your embarrassing breaks with protocol, all those inelegant deals, all those ill-advised duels, and then finally this. A murder, Janus. A murder. What son ever disappointed a father as completely as you have?" She sneered. "I could weep for him. I really could." Drake wanted to argue, to explain, but the candlelight shimmered again and left him facing Emissary Korval. He saw the Blackstone more clearly this time. They had emerged from the maglev into a small octagonal antechamber with a doorway in each wall. Something was wrong. Ordus was curled in a fetal position on the floor, cursing and raging. Pius Vaughan was wrestling with Thaddeus, who had blood rushing from what looked like to be self-inflicted head wounds. As Vaughan grappled with the heavy-set preacher, He was moaning frantically, trying to reach his eyes with his fingernails. Isola was still inside the maglev chamber, pummeling the faceted walls with her fists, as though trying to break through solid rock. Greg sat quietly, gnawing thoughtfully on a piece of flesh, and Drake's guards were hurling abuse at each other on the verge of drawing weapons. He grabbed Korval's arm and climbed to his feet. "What happened?" Korval held him until he was steady, then turned back to the others. "This is it, the madness Thaddeus warned you of." As Korval reached Drake's guards, he placed one hand against the side of his helmet and extended his other hand towards the arguing soldiers. A tracery of circuits blazed around the navigator's cowl, flooding energy down his sleeve and causing his gauntlet to pulse with cool inner fire. "You are with Captain Drake," said Korval, his voice amplified and strange, resonating through the gloom. "You are on the Blackstone Fortress." The guards ceased their argument, but Korval kept his hand raised, and the light grew more powerful, distorting the air with heat haze and causing the men to stagger, clutching their heads. "Follow the sound of my voice," said Korval. "The fortress is trying to confuse you." The men became still as Korval approached them, looking around with dazed expressions. He gripped each one of them in turn, grabbing their shoulders with his shimmering hand and channeling the light through their uniforms. He stayed with them for a few minutes until they nodded at him, looking embarrassed but less confused. Korval moved around the whole group, with the exception of Greg, repeating the process until everyone was calm. Then they gathered around him in silence. Until that moment, Korval had been a shadowy presence in the group, barely acknowledged by anyone but Drake. Now they looked at him as a leader, horrified by whatever memories had gripped them, and desperate to avoid slipping back. "What do we do?" asked Drake, still trying to shake the memory of his sister's vicious laughter.
"Celebrate," said Korval, with an unusual note of levity. "According to our spiritual guide," he nodded at Thaddeus, "this malady only occurs near our goal. We have almost reached the vault."
Thaddeus whispered a prayer, and his face turned a worrying shade of purple. He seemed too excited to breathe.
"The blind shall be made to see," he muttered,
gripping his power mace and closing his eyes.
"But what of the—"
Isola looked anxiously back at the wall she had just been pummeling. Korval shook his head.
"I'm shielding us. It was surprisingly easy. Perhaps the Blackstone is not quite as impenetrable as it might seem."
Drake nodded his head in a slight bow.
"You are modest, emissary. Your skill has made light of a problem that would have crushed a lesser mind. We are all in your debt."
Korval returned the bow.
"I would suggest a few minutes' rest before we press on to the Oscurus Vault. I know we are eager to reach our goal, but you have all just been through an unusual psychic trauma. There may be aftershocks."
The fight with the Urgles had left most of the group exhausted, so the navigator's suggestion was met without argument. Drake looked at his attaché, who was standing on guard beside him.
"Isola, you too. Take the time."
His words faltered as his gaze fell on Greg. The Kroot still seemed oblivious to everything that had happened, sitting just outside the maglev, gnawing on a bit of meat he had salvaged from the previous chamber. Drake stepped closer, a dreadful realization washing over him. He stooped and grabbed the Kroot's arm, pulling it closer so he could see what Greg was holding. The flesh was chewed beyond recognition, just a pulpy mess, but it was still encased in sodden shreds of cloth, torn fragments of a House Drake uniform. Greg stopped eating for a moment, staring back at him. The others gathered around to watch the exchange. Drake remembered seeing Greg snatch something from the guard who died fleeing from the Urgles.
"That's from one of my men," he said, his voice tight with rage.
Grek nodded. Images of glorious terror were still echoing round Drake's thoughts, scenes of nobility and privilege. But here he was, consorting with a snorting, man-eating savage. Rage jolted through him like a current, and he whipped his pistol from his holster, jamming it against the creature's forehead, directly between its blank, impenetrable eyes. His finger settled over the trigger. There was silence. He could feel the others behind him, waiting to see what he did next.
"He was dead," said Grek.
One of the other guards hissed in disbelief, and Drake heard the sound of weapons being readied. He stood in silence for a moment, pressing his gun harder into the Kroot's face. Then he stepped back.
"That thing has no place in your company," said Korval.
"We would never have got here without him," said Ordus, glaring at Korval.
She looked pale and shaken from whatever vision had been tormenting her, but she stepped to Grek's side with a determined scowl.
"You never would have found me without him, and he's done nothing but watch our back since we landed. The Kroot just thinks differently about death, that's all. He didn't kill that man, and it's not like we're going to be giving anyone a burial in this place."
Drake lowered his pistol. Even through his outrage, he could hear sense in Ordus's words, but there was no way he was going to spend another minute with that vile creature.
"Go,"
he said, grabbing Grek by the shoulder and hurling him across the chamber towards one of the doorways.
"Get out of my sight."
Grek stood, shaking his head, shreds of meat still hanging in his grip.
"My debt," he said, "is repaid,"
snarled Drake, still battling the urge to kill him.
He knew the name of the man Grek was currently digesting.
"Go, before I change my mind. Order says you know this place better than any of us. I'm sure you'll find a way out."
Grek shook his head, looking at Ordus for support. She was about to speak up again when Drake yelled an order.
"On the count of three," he said, glancing at his men.
They raised their lasguns and pointed them at the Kroot.
"One," said Drake, raising his pistol.
Grek gave a last shake of his head, then bounded off through the doorway, vanishing into the darkness. Drake stood there for a few seconds, his pistol still raised, considering how low he had come, how far he was from where he should be.
"Which way?"
he said, turning to Thaddeus, his voice still taut.
"Where is the vault?"
Ordus was shaking her head and cursing under her breath, but the rest of the group relaxed visibly to see Grek gone. Thaddeus beamed at Ordus, waving his mace at one of the doorways.
"Take heart. Deliverance is at hand. We don't need a rabid Xenos creature to lead the way."
He tapped his journal.
"We are back on the routes I understand. These are the places I have been shown. The God Emperor's brilliance has found us, even here in this lightless pit. We are almost there."
After they had rested and checked their weapons, Thaddeus led them down the corridor he had pointed out. It was as dark as all the previous ones, but it was far narrower, so the lumens on their guns were enough to light up the walls and flash in their widened eyes. Every few feet, they passed circular openings leading to other passageways, but Thaddeus rushed on down the main corridor until it opened out into another large hall. Drake hesitated at the threshold, confused. It looked like they had emerged in a moonlit forest. As in one of the previous chambers, the ceiling was open to the light of the heavens, a vast, faceted dome of crystal that glittered with the radiance of a thousand stars. The light poured down through the dome and splashed, cold and beautiful, across hundreds of columns. They were not trees, as Drake had first thought, but rods made of the same black substance as the walls. They varied in height, some hundreds of feet tall
and others no higher than a man. High up, they were linked with bough-like crossbars, creating shady, bowered walkways and adding to the sense of a forest. As Drake stepped closer, he saw that the rods were arranged in a pattern, complex, but deliberate and familiar in some way. The chamber fell away on one side, a sheer drop that plunged into a pit beyond the reach of the starlight. On the other side, beyond the columns, was a broad staircase. Drake's head ached as he followed its meandering, physics-defying course. The steps started normally enough, then veered off at a bizarre angle and looped back, creating an intersection that Drake could not understand, however long he stared at it. Thaddeus had not paused, striding on through the columns with confidence, making for the distant staircase as the rest of the group hurried after him. Drake was halfway across the room, still trying to decipher the pattern of the columns, when Corval placed a hand on his shoulder. "Captain," he said, "what is it?" Drake shook his head. He had the same odd feeling he'd had when he watched the dragon's teeth move, in the same sequence as his childhood training regimes. There was something about the arrangement of these columns that mirrored his past. It was as though the Blackstone were trying to tell him something. He was on the verge of explaining all this to Corval when he realised how absurd it was. He'd sound like one of the fools who became enamoured by the Blackstone's mystery, imbuing it with religious significance and personality. "There's a pattern here," he said, without elaborating. "I can't decipher it." Corval nodded, looking around at the featureless poles. "It might be significant, Captain. Your goal is to decipher the workings of this place. These details might point to a wider pattern."
"True," muttered Drake, still unwilling to explain that his interest was more obscure.
"Take a moment," said Corval. "We're racing through all these rooms at such speed without pausing to examine their mysteries. We could miss something crucial if we don't stop to look when we have the chance." It was true. They were sprinting past wonders that might never be seen by human eyes again. As the others rushed on and began climbing the staircase, Drake stepped closer to one of the columns, and Corval wandered off through the stone glade, looking up at the distant ceiling.
"Captain!" Corval waved Drake over towards the edge of the room. "There's something over here!"
The others had now disappeared from sight, heading on into the next chamber, so Drake moved quickly, not wanting to split the group. He dashed between the columns, starlight flashing on his cuirass as he reached the edge of the chamber.
"What is it?"
Corval was staring into the darkness, his cowl flickering with psychic resonance as he leant out into the void.
"I can't tell. Can your eyepiece penetrate this wretched darkness, Captain? Focus it over there. Do you see that?"
Corval pointed down into the unseen depths, and Drake saw something moving in the shadows. He stepped past the navigator, fascinated.
"I do see something," he muttered,
dropping into a crouch and opening his optical implant's aperture as wide as it would go. Something started to materialise.
"A face,"
he gasped as the features swam into view. Again, he sensed that the fortress was dredging his past. The face was familiar. His breath stalled in his throat as he realised what the Blackstone was showing him.
"Numa,"
he gasped, his throat dry.
"Numa,"
said Corval. The navigator's voice sounded odd. Drake leapt to his feet, looking back at Corval. The navigator had drawn his pistol. It was pointed at Drake's face. Corval hesitated, just for a second, his hand wavering. Then he fired. The hesitation gave Drake time to dodge, draw and fire, but his shot went wide as Corval's blast ripped through his shoulder, knocking him off his feet and throwing him backwards. Corval said nothing as Drake fell silently into the frigid dark.